Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And welcome to the Dead Parent Club podcast with me, Emma Jones.
And me, Kat Hooker.
This episode is called 5 Years Later. So let us explain.
So one of the producers of this podcast messaged me a few days ago to say that when her friend lost her dad and her sister within a year of each other, her therapist said that she wasn't going to start feeling kind of anything like the person that she was prior to their death until 5 or 7 years later. Now, that's quite a big amount of time for you to be like, oh my God, I've just lost somebody.
I mean, it's pretty petrifying. If somebody says that to you, you're going 5 years' time. For example, I was 18 when I lost my mum. So basically, I would have gone, hang on, 5 years ago was 13.
23.
I've got to wait till I'm 23, that same amount of time, to feel like myself again. But kind of makes sense.
Kind of makes sense. And also, I'm going to say this as like a bit of a caveat. You never really get to However, we are in this episode going to talk about the parts of our identity that we feel like we lost at that point when they passed away, the part how we thought our life was going to look like 5 years on when we were in the middle of that grief, and then how our life actually looked like 5 years later. Because I think it's just, thinking about it, it's quite nice just to give you guys that listening idea of actually those depths of grief don't grab hold of your life like you think they're going to.
Yeah, I also want to add a little positive clause in here before we delve deep and say, I think I'm actually happier with the person I am now than the person I was before my mum died. So before we crack on, I hope this gives you some hope. Kat, how did you feel as soon as your mum died? And what were like your worst fears around that time?
So I feel like one thing that I felt like I lost was like I did identify very strongly as my mother's daughter. That was like a huge part of my identity. And I think because I was like really, really close to my mum and not so close to my dad at the time, like I was like, that's Joanne's daughter. Like that was my person and that was me. So I think just having her in my life was a huge part of my identity. And then another thing that people say a lot of is that like grief can sort of rewrite your address book. So like it wasn't just my mum, but it was like, okay, my mum's brothers and sisters, their kids, all of my cousins, my mum's friends. And it was suddenly like all of these people that were such big parts of my life, it was suddenly a bit like, are they still going to be? I'm not sure. Like, and then it was all the things that I would do with my mum and the person that I would call all the time. And suddenly I think I identified as a very lonely person. Like, I identified as a person that had nobody to support them. And I was out there, I was on my own, and I had to do it by myself. And that is who I was now. So I was suddenly mummy's girl. Had loads of family, she had loads of siblings, loads of family time, lovely, amazing, all these people around me that were going to call me all the time, to being, okay, now you're on your own. This is you now. What about you?
It's very similar, actually. I always identified as my mother's daughter. And you know, it was kind of like I was my mum's mini me. I looked up to her and I just wanted to be her. So it felt like that whole sense of identity that I'd created over 18 years was taken away from me immediately. And I had those similar fears to you, even that everything in my mum's world, well, does that no longer exist now? Is there, you know, is there nothing of her left here apart from, you know, her parents, you know, my grandparents and my two brothers? And I had this overwhelming fear as well that, because obviously mum was a teacher at my old high school, that I would always be in the town that I came from then, oh, that's the one whose mum's died. And I was, not only did I not want to shed the identity that I'd had as being my mum's daughter, I didn't want to accept that people were going to talk and people were going to say, she's the one whose mum's died. That just plagued me. And it is, I believe, a huge driving factor behind why I chose to really go after my dreams, because I wanted to prove to everybody that no, I was not going to allow this grief to stop me from pursuing and fulfilling a life that I really wanted. And, you know, that might be deeply unhealthy as a starting point for it to start from there. But it has meant that I've created a happy life. Being an 18-year-old and remembering how I felt, you know, it's quite difficult to remember, actually, because it's quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say confusion, worry, fear. I totally didn't know who I was. And almost probably a chameleon, adapting to just any situation I was thrown into, because I was like, well, my mum's not here, so I don't know, is this right, is this wrong, am I, you know, do I belong in this circle of friends or them, or where should I be, what should I be doing? It was all these things that I'd never really asked myself before.
Literally, I think, because I was, so I was 20, so I was obviously mid-uni, wasn't I?
Yeah.
And like, I'm just kind of like, the biggest word that comes to mind for me is panic. Like, actual panic. And it's so strange how you don't actually realize how much of your identity you're kind of stripping off at that point, because I think, you know, before somebody dies you obviously know that it's going to hurt, but I don't think you realize just how intricate grief is and how much of an impact that person had on every single aspect of your life. And I do kind of feel like you completely strip yourself of the person that you were, because even going out and having fun at that point feels impossible, like you shouldn't be doing it. So you kind of lose that fun sense of self, the carefree sense of self. Like, all of my friends were out getting drunk, doing whatever they wanted, completely carefree. And I was suddenly plagued with this just really dark cloud all the time that followed me around. So I think the person that I was did just completely flip. And I've talked a lot, I think, about how during that time and within that first year, like and probably for a few years after that, in that in-between stage, like, I did really lean on, like, external factors to kind of build me up, and I wasn't my own cheerleader, and I needed other people to give me what my mum never didn't anymore. And I think it made me a bit, like, I look back and I'm like, oh, I'm really sad for you, because you're such a people pleaser. You're so trying to fit in with everything that you're doing, because you want people to be like, you're doing great, you're amazing, you're smashing life, and
you're so strong.
Something, yeah, you're so strong. And I was like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I am crumbling.
And also, like, just as a little side note, we talk about strong as if, like, that's a compliment. No, you don't have to be strong. And maybe we should be turning around and going, it feels on the outside like you're being strong, but that makes me concerned that there is an undercurrent of sadness and emotion underneath you. Can you share that with me if you'd like to?
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, championing, you're so strong.
Yeah, because it makes you feel like you can't be vulnerable.
Exactly. It's like, well, they're proud of me for being strong. So, and it reinforces that that's a positive thing. And I was like you as well, Kat. I chased highs. I couldn't be on my own. I couldn't be in my own company. Nope, could not. Because I never wanted to sit with my thoughts. I used to just go out every single night. I remember the girls that I lived with were like, yeah, we're going home this weekend. And I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, where are you going? They were like, no, just going to chill. And I was like, you're going to chill? Why would you chill? Yeah, I was like, I'm going out and I'm getting drunk every single night this weekend. And then I'll come back to you. So totally unhealthy, and like not saying that that was the right thing. But that was my idea of, I've got to constantly be having some sort of fun, because otherwise I will have to remember what's happened. I actually remember I was stood in the queue for a night out once, and I was like, oh my God, I feel ill. I feel so ill. I went back to the uni halls and like collapsed. And I was like, so before I'd done that, I just was like, just started ramming like biscuits in my mouth. And I was like, something's not right. I feel like I'm going to faint. And then just collapsed. And they called the paramedics and they were like, you've had a really bad panic attack. Like, this, but it was totally, I didn't know what a panic attack was. Yeah. So I just thought, I felt honestly a bit like, is this, am I dying? Because I didn't know any of the symptoms. And they took me into hospital and my brother came to see me and he was so upset and I felt so guilty because, so me and my twin brother, Sam, we went to the same university and he came to see me, but we obviously went to uni only a few months after mum had died. And I felt so guilty because I wonder if that triggered, you know, he was coming to the hospital to see another female who he loved. And he was so upset about it because they were just having me breathe into this paper bag. And like, I didn't know. And that was me almost, because I wouldn't sit with my thoughts. Everything bubbled up and came out physically. I used to get ill a lot. Very, very ill. Like I was poorly as a child as well, but I think some of that was maybe as a result of stress. But when I was at uni, I was ill. I was always ill. And again, I think it was that whole thing of, because I just didn't talk. I was like, good time, girl. Let's burn the candle at both ends and just let this stress just sit with me. And sit
I'm a party girl. I'm not a sad girl.
Yes. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Whereas deep down, you're like, I'm completely a sad girl right now. And that is why I'm a party girl.
looking back, I was very, very sad. So bad. So what did you think then? Obviously, you were at uni at the time, so everybody has all these big plans when they finish uni and all this big future. What did you think life was going to look like for you at 23?
Honestly, I didn't know. I was like, and I never... I never had high expectations for myself. I never really thought I'd achieve anything. Were you the same?
Yeah, massively, yeah.
When did that change?
I don't know if it has.
I mean, yeah, but you're smashing life. Like, can you not see that now? You must see.
And I know I'm doing a lot better than I thought that I would be. And we can talk about that when we get to that point. But I think at 20, looking to 25, I just did not see happy.
No. I didn't know.
It seemed unattainable. Success seemed unattainable. Having a happy family life seemed unattainable. All of it.
It was what other people did.
Yeah.
And we were never going to be like that. And I just think I found a level of acceptance with that. And I don't really know. I probably do know what changed that. I think when I got into sort of closer to my mid-20s and I got help and I started talking and I realised that I'd done a lot of damage to my mental health. And I realised that I needed to unlearn a lot of the behaviours and things that I'd thought about myself throughout, not just since mum died, but in my youth. And, you know, I'm the biggest advocate of therapy. I think we could all do with talking, even if you, you know, whether you're happy or not. But yeah, I think that was when I started going, oh, actually, who says that happiness and success, whatever your definition of that may be, is for other people and not me? Why have I told myself this for a very long time that, like, okay, my mum died, but why does that mean I can't be happy? Live. Why does that mean? Surely I owe it to myself to actually enjoy the life that I have. But that's not an easy step to get to, is it?
No, not at all. And I think that when I was that age, when I was like 20 and I was looking ahead at what I was going to be doing at like 25 or something, I felt this immense pressure because I'd taken a year out of uni as well. So everybody else was actually graduating at the end of that year at that point. So I saw everybody getting grad jobs. And obviously social media was big then. And you saw everybody posting all the highlights of their new lives and all the job offers that they'd got. And I wasn't connected to myself. I didn't know myself. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was just kind of like running blind, panicking that I was going to let my dad down by not getting a job. And I was going to do crap in my degree. I was going to get, I'm not saying a 2.2 is crap, but I was always on par to achieve. Like throughout my whole life, I've achieved. I've always been a high achiever at school. And I was like, I'm going to ruin my degree. It's going to be a waste of money. I'm not going to get a job. And I was so panicked that I applied for this job that was not, it was a recruiter job. And that is not me. Like, I am not a recruiter. But I just kind of like, I was like, okay, job done. Tick. I'm going to have a job when I finish uni. Yeah. Everyone's going to be proud of me. That's great. I'm doing fine. At 25, I'll be earning X amount of money and I'll do what everybody else is doing. And I will be living in Manchester in a flat and I'll be going out and having fun. And I'll have the time of my life. I'll be in a relationship or whatever. And I think, but at no point did I don't think I actually sat and thought, okay, like, what are your values? What is important to you? What do you want to be able to do in your life? Like, at no point did I sit and actually just listen to myself. And that's so sad.
Do you not think that's because, like, you made a really good point there where you said you were, like, disconnected? Do you not think that's because you were almost having to relearn who you were?
Yeah, massively. I think that's, like, what we said, like, the person dies, you strip yourself of your identity and who you were, and suddenly you're a bit like, shit, well, who am I then? If I don't identify as this person's daughter, if I don't have this person to ask who I am and to help me figure that out, how the frickin' heck do I do it?
Yeah.
especially when you're grieving, because everything feels impossible.
And I think I even at the times when I'd started getting work that I enjoyed, and I was like, I kind of had a direction in my life, and I was like, wow, this is actually exciting. It was still tinged with moments of pain, because I always felt, and I might be wrong, but my mum isn't here to say I am or not. Mm. I always felt that my mum might worry about me in my life and whether I would actually go on to pursue something I enjoyed and how happy I'd be and what I'd end up doing. Because as a child, I was a teenager, so I did things that teenagers do, and I didn't work that hard at school. I was a bit, you know, I kind of just did my thing, and I think she worried. So even though I'm happy and I love doing what I do and I started finding that path, there was pain in even in that joy, which we've spoken about before, that it's the moments where you'd love to pick up the phone and go, Mum, I've got my first job on the radio, and hear her say, I'm so proud, or I'd love, you know, to take her to different places, the places I've been to, you know, it's all that kind of thing that no matter how far along on your grief journey you are, I don't think that's ever not a thing.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Looking now at 23 for you, what parts of where you were at that point in your life surprised you compared to what you expected it to look like? And what part do you look back on and think, oh, like, I still wasn't really where I should have been at that point?
I think because of some of the stuff that happened post-grief that obviously I won't get fully into, in a weird way, I had to, like, defer my grief as well. Yeah. Like, it was all on hold because there was so much going on after Mum died for quite a number of years. And that didn't really end until, like, 4 years after she died. But that year of 23, like, 5 years later, I think I do remember things finally. You know, I'd signed up, I was enrolled, I was doing my master's, and I finally realised what it was that I wanted to do. I was pursuing something that made me happy. I was being more open with my friends. I didn't feel like my life began and end with going out at the weekend and, like, just getting drunk and then crying in a toilet. Yeah. It was more meaningful conversations. And I realised that the friendship group that I'd had from school, I was able to open up to them. I didn't have to put on this front that I was always okay. I could ring them crying my eyes out if I wanted to. And even just knowing that was amazing. I always knew that, but I just didn't even acknowledge the grief enough to utilize my friends in that way. And yeah, I'd found some direction. I was doing my master's. Obviously, I wasn't where I wanted to be, but life was still a bit like, wow, where is this taking me? Where am I going to go? But I think I started to feel like more of a driver and less of a passenger. What about you?
Yeah, I love that. That's a really nice way of looking at it, actually. Mm. So I think now, so 25 obviously actually isn't that long ago for me. nearly.
No.
I only turned 25 like nearly 2 years ago. So I kind of look back, but I can see how much growth I've had since then. So I kind of look back at 25 then. I was in a job that was more in tune with the kind of things that I wanted to do. It wasn't a great working environment, but I think by the time I'd got to 25, I'd learned enough about myself to know, okay, what kind of makes me happy, like right in the kind of the present moment. But I was still in that sort of trap between those ages of like 23 to 25, where I was still doing things more because that's what was expected of me. So by 25, I think I'd moved out and I'd bought an apartment. I kind of rushed into that, but I'm glad that I did it. But I was also in a relationship at that point that even then I knew wasn't my forever relationship, but I'd kind of fallen into it because everyone was like, "Well, you need somebody nice," and they were nice,
yeah.
But it didn't kind of set that spark. Mm. And now, where I'm at an age where I'm a little bit more down the line, where I can be like, okay, that didn't really align with the life that I want to live and the values that I have now and the person that I am now. So, like, it's nice when I look back at who I was at 25 and I think, God, I never thought that I'd actually have a job that, you know, I enjoyed and was more in tune with what I wanted to do. I never thought that I'd own my own place at 25, and I never pictured myself actually staying closer to home, which was the right thing for me to do at that point with my dad and stuff. And I've built like a little life for me here, which I'm really happy with. And obviously the podcast at that point as well was, you know, it's kind of grown. And I'm proud of that. So I think I look at 25 and I'm like, you know what, within those 5 years, you've done really well. And it's even nicer now that I can look back and be like, turned 25 2 years ago, in the last 2 years, I've grown even more, and I'm living like a life that's so much more aligned with what I want now, which is so we said at the start, I think it can take 5 to 7 years to get back to who you were. I don't think that I am back to the person that I was, and I'm glad that I'm not. I think I don't know about you, but like, are there parts of you that you miss from before your mum died?
So weirdly, the only part of myself that I miss is the part of myself that could pick up the phone and ring my mum. But actually, all the other parts of me, I feel, are an improved version. Mm-hmm. I used to be so afraid of being that girl whose mum died, but now it's almost like it's a superpower. And I don't mean that I'd have my mum back in a heartbeat. But what I mean by that is I feel like I have empathy in a whole other level, because I understand the very depths of pain and the all the different emotions that any kind of grief can evoke, not just death, but a loss or breakdown of a relationship with anybody or anything like that. And I think as well, it's given me way more gratitude, way more understanding of how finite life is, and way more appreciation of the simple things. The stuff that used to bother you know, a young Emma Jones wouldn't even scratch the surface now. Like, I just don't have that same attitude towards life. I'm like, I'm here, I'm happy, those around me are here and happy, and they're happy. And look, life isn't always that way. We're not always here and happy and healthy, things go on. But I feel way more equipped to deal with those things now, because I feel as though I've been through one of the worst things in the world, and here I am, genuinely happy and fulfilled. I'm sure we'll get on to it shortly, but that's one of the things I'd like you to take comfort from if you're listening to this and wondering if you'll ever get to that stage. Like, even if it feels a million miles away, it isn't. You will get to that stage. What about you? Are there any parts of old Cat that you miss?
Carefree Cat, I think.
Carefree,
I do. That's one of the biggest things that I've struggled with growing up, I think, is seeing the people around me that are still my age that are still very carefree, because they know that they've got that person to lean on, or that's going to help them if that happens. And I think I had to grow up very, very, very quickly, the same as you did. And, you know, I had to grow up so quickly because then, like, my dad was unwell straight after mum died, so I became like more of a parent to him than a child. So sometimes I get upset because I'm like, I miss being parented, because I don't have that, which makes me really sad.
And someone to wrap an arm around you and say it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And do you find, obviously it's quite unique in your situation because of your dad, but do you find that you fall into the trap, because I know I do this, of just being parent to people anyway?
I'm like, so bad for it. Yeah, I'm so
How do we stop this, and why are we like this? Like, we lost a parent and then we became parents to people. Like, I mother all my friends, they're my age, but I'm like, I want to mother you. And
the guy that I'm dating now, he says to me, like, you know, you can accept help. And I'm like, but can I?
Yeah.
I've done it by myself for so long.
that's the thing. You are basically, you get hand-delivered independence and you don't really want it. But then you get to a point where you don't know any other way, so you don't want to accept help, because you're like, no, I know I can do it on my own because I've done the worst thing on my own.
Yeah.
So thanks, but I'll crack on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I am
deeply unhealthy again, but...
Deeply unhealthy. Like, it's made me, like, very, very independent, and I am very grateful for that, because, like you, if anything bad happens to me in my life now, I've learnt the tools and the coping mechanisms that I need to get through it by myself, and I can do it by myself. But I think the difficulty then comes with being able to, like, open up and be vulnerable with people and let them be the person to help you and stuff, which I think is really difficult. But then it is that, you know, I miss that side of me, and that I grieve that a lot.
Yeah.
But again, like, you know, somebody asked me the other day, would you take your mum back and be the person that you were, or that you think that you would end up being, without them here? And that question is like, can I not just have her back and be the person that I am now?
Yeah.
Because I really like myself. Because I literally sat there and I was like, I would be a bit of a dickhead. Like, I know for a fact that if my mum hadn't have died, I would be a bit of a dick, because I would have been spoiled with, like, love and with life. And everything would have felt so easy. Like, obviously my dad still would have been ill and stuff, but he's still around. Like, I would have been spoiled with just goodness, and I think I would be a cock. So, like,
I know what you mean. But there's also, do you ever think about the person you would have been? Because you naturally change as you get older. But I find myself going, who would I have been if mum was here? Would I have still been this person? I don't think I would. Like, you can't go through grief and not change in some way.
Yeah.
But who would we have been? Because you say, like, you think you'd have been a cock. You might not have had certain aspects and elements of who you are now, but then
there might have been
certain elements that with natural growth just come. And I think that's one of the big things for grievers, is we'll never know the answer to that. We'll never know who we would be or what we'd be doing. And it's difficult to find peace with that, actually. I think that's one of the things that I've questioned quite a lot. Who would I be if she was here?
Yeah, I question that an awful lot. And I do think, you know, obviously you take a lot from your parent, and you do carry them with you, and you are a part of them. So if they were around, you would still have that, because they would be the person that you look up to. So I think, you know, we probably wouldn't be as bad as we think we would be. But I think it's that loss of empathy that I've gained, and that loss of being like, okay, this is how bad I felt, but now I appreciate life so much more, and I've built such a lovely life, like you said. So... yeah, it's interesting how much things can change.
Kat, do you find that you handle reminders or triggers about your mum differently, or did you 5 years on and now, than you did initially?
It's the happiest moments in my life now that trigger me the most. So when things are going really badly, I don't kind of get triggered and have a strop like, I wish my mum was here. Like, I used to do that a lot. Now it's more when things are going really well, or like it's a really nice, happy occasion with family and stuff. That's when I'm like, God, like, I really miss her. So I think, yeah, I carry it with me. And like, you kind of hear this analogy a lot, but sometimes it is really heavy, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like a little light cloud, and sometimes it's like a thunderstorm. I am very aware that my identity with myself is hinged on the fact that I am a young adult that lost a mum prematurely. And that is a part of my identity, and I've come to accept that now. And I think that's a nice thing, because it means that I am the person who I am today.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. I know I have certainly experienced what you have, in that it's the happy moments, it's the joyous moments that trigger, you know, missing my mum. I went back to my old high school last week. Yeah, to talk to the school leavers. And Mum was a teacher at that high school. Obviously, I went to that high school, and some of the teachers that worked there now worked alongside my mum when she was there, even all those years ago. And that, and I took my best friend, Hannah, who I went to that high school with, and it was so many things were the same. And it was such a bittersweet moment. I would say that was one of the biggest moments for me since the loss of my mum, because I walked back into a place that my mum and I would go to every day together for 5 years. Mm. Normally we'd be late. So that's one trait that mum has passed on to me that I've not shaken off. I'm always late. We would walk into that place together every day for 5 years. And, you know, she will have made memories with those teachers that I'll never know about. I'll never know. And it was, we walked in there and it all looked the same pretty much. And it was the same faces, some of them. And I felt the elephant in the room. Yeah. Like, everyone knows that I'm my mother's daughter. And there's this thing here. We all know how we're linked in some way. And they said, I said, oh, can I use the toilet? And they said, oh, you can go and use the staff room ones upstairs. And I'd never been up there before. Oh. I'd never seen the staff room from that angle, because I'd always had to knock from and run back down. Yeah. There were a different stairway. I didn't know this. Cheeky little sneaky stairway that the teachers used to go up. So me and Hannah went up there. And we were eating the chocolate crunch. And we were like looking around. And we were like, oh, this is where Mum was every single day. And it was so bittersweet. But in, I said to Hannah when we came away, I said, that is the closest I think I've ever felt to my mum. Because I was stood in a room in it where I used to be with her every day, surrounded by people that knew her, addressing an assembly of children who are about to embark on their journeys in their lives, and they're going to come across things that are going to hurt them. And I was using my experience to advise them that it was going to be okay. And so everything about that, and Hannah actually said to me, you know, when you were up there, I could just picture your mum at the entrance of the door smiling at you. So it was, for me, that was one of the moments I felt closest to her.
That's beautiful. That's so nice. And I think life's all about those moments now. Like when you feel like you've lost yourself and you feel like you've lost the person that your parent wanted you to be, or that you want to be for your parent, I think one of the best things you can do is try and do something that makes you feel close to them. It's comforting.
It's you might be listening to this now, having recently lost somebody, and I know that I get quite a few messages of people saying, I've just lost my mum, or I've just lost a parent. Like, how do you do it? That is the number one question I get asked. How do you do it?
Yeah.
And my heart breaks when I read the message, because I look at it and I remember how I felt, and I go, yes, you feel their pain. And you know that right now they're navigating their way through a hazy blur, and they probably are having to do everything that we had to do, you know, stripped of their identity, rebuilding their identity. And you don't want to say to them, it's going to be a long road, but you have to be honest, because it's not like, such is grief that it's never ending, but it does get better in most cases.
You might also be listening to this, and I completely accept that these might be emotions that you have, but you might be listening to this and feeling angry and being like, how dare you talk about how good your life can get when I am 2-3 years in, maybe more, and still feeling like it's the end of the world, and like you're like, this is not gonna be the case for me. It will like. And I think if you are feeling like that, and, you know, it has been a few years, I can only ask you to reach out for help and to find somebody to talk to, because I think that is the only real way to kind of go through those emotions. And you might even sit and look back and think, okay, I was dealing with that differently 3 years ago. Like, in what ways has my life changed in those years for the better, and write it out? Because I think there is so much life to live. And like Emma said earlier, you know, just your parent may have died, but that shouldn't stop you from living.
Yeah. And also, just touching on what you said there, Kat, anger is normal. So, and a sadness, pain, it's normal to feel every emotion. But if it's overwhelming you, like Kat says, please reach out and talk to somebody, because there is help out there. And it might not feel it right now, but there is a good life out there for you. You really are going to be able to live it.
There's also a huge community online of other grievers who have probably been through something similar to you. So if you want to join the Dead Parent Club online, you can find us on Instagram at Dead Parent Club Podcast. Podcast, on Twitter at DPC Podcast, and on Facebook at Dead Parent Club. And you'll see, you know, from the comments underneath our posts and stuff, there is a whole host of people you can reach out to and chat to and just talk about your own experiences with.
Yeah, and if you ever just want to check in and listen to fellow grievers, we are always here. You can there's multiple podcasts at the Dead Parent Club that you can listen to. There is so Kat's been working hard over the years, so there's plenty. There's a back catalogue, a plenty there for you. But thank you so much for listening, as always.
Thank you, everybody, and we hope this episode provides you with some comfort today.
See you next time.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.